Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And good Thursday morning, everyone. No, it is not Tim. It is Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim today. Along with me, as usual, is Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. He calls us from the back 40 there, the big ranch, the Pritchard Ranch in Dallas. Does everybody have a ranch in Texas? Is that just a rumor, is it?
Yeah, you know, that's mostly a rumor. Although, Fred, there's a surprising number of people who do have some pretty big spreads. Yeah. I'm not among them. I just like hanging out with them if I can find them.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I wouldn't imagine there are too many ranches in downtown Dallas or Fort Worth, wherever you happen to be there.
I'm literally in the city of Dallas, and so okay. No cattle out my window this morning.
Not quite the back 40 thing there, maybe 40
no, this,
feet.
This is more like the suburban backyard kind of thing. That's kind of what I got going this morning.
And you're still having great spring weather, all that.
Oh man. Yeah. It's I'm looking outside right now. It's blue skies. It's sunny. And I think we're going to hit about 75 today. So pretty tolerable.
Bad day at all. And all that bad weather. And we've had some bad weather in the Midwest this week. But it's moved on. Thank the good Lord
That.
And we've got a nice day here at our base in Tupelo, Mississippi. Well, Ray, the reason you and I are here keeping shop today is all the regular gang, for the most part.
Right.
Are in Florida or headed to Florida. Big event tonight, very important to American Family Association, where our founder, Dr. Don Wildman, is going to get a special honor tonight from the National Religious Broadcasters. We're really excited about that.
Well, Fred, for the benefit of our listeners, say a word to them about, I mean, a lot of them may have heard of the NRB, but they don't know what it is. What's the significance of this great organization honoring our founder, Don Wildman? What does it mean tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the National Religious Broadcasters as a group have been around for many, many years. And when we say honor, they have honored people like Dr. James Dobson. They've honored people, D. James Kennedy, and many others who have brought Christian radio to the forefront in this country. And, Dr. Don Wildman, our founder, is one of those who began this ministry, began AFA, American Family Association, many, many decades ago, and then, you know, had a vision that God gave him to begin a radio network. And, he started the ministry, AFA, on his dining room table. you talk about faith.
Yes.
He started the ministry in a dining room table, And if you talk to Brother Don today, he had no idea what God was going to do, but he's the kind of gentleman and the kind of Christian who is very quick to say, you know, it's not about me, it's about God and just a willing spirit. And we're kind of excited, Ray, because even though you and I can't be in Florida today, we're going to pay special honor to Brother Don in our second hour today. You're not going to want to miss this, folks. We're going to play some excerpts from some of his great speeches through the years for you, just to get an appreciation of the type of guy he is. And also we'll have Brother Bert Harper from Exploring the Word. Brother Bert was also chairman of the board here at AFA for many years. And, of course, Buddy Smith will be with us, one of our senior vice presidents. And he has been with the ministry for many, many years. These are two guys that know Brother Don intimately. And we're excited that we're going to spend the last half hour of today's program paying honor, paying tribute to one of the finest men that I've known in my Christian life, and that is Don Wildman.
And we really want to thank our friends at the NRB,
yeah,
the National Religious Broadcasters, because they have long been supporters of our ministry and us of theirs. And so for them to give their highest award to Don Wildman is a tribute to them, that they should honor our founder that way. So it's a great day here at American Family Radio, and we'll talk more about Brother Don in the next hour, and how a ministry that started on the dining room table, Fred, now stretches around the world.
184 stations, the radio division, around the country now. And as was mentioned yesterday, we'll be turning on a brand new station in Jacksonville, Florida, in just a few days. And that's the way it has been. God has just opened those doors, and with Brother Don, and now the vision carrying forward with Tim as president of the organization, God just keeps on blessing. And you know, Ray, it's just a blessing to be part of it.
Well, you know, I was thinking that what you said, that Brother Don didn't know in the beginning.
No.
And you know, most ministries that start around the dining room table or that kind of thing, very few. How many ministries that start that way end up becoming global in their reach? It's almost none. You can count them like on the fingers of one hand or something like that. It's the hand of God and a man with great faith and great vision. And I hear people talk about Brother Don, bulldog tenacity, that he would not be stopped.
No.
Naysayers didn't bother him. Critics just kind of went, just, you know, the water off the duck's back and all that stuff, you know. He never stopped and never quit. And look, here we are today. So it's I'm amazing. Just glad this evening, and I'm sure Tim will talk about this next week when he's back, but really glad that Brother Don is being celebrated and honored in such a great way.
Well, I tell you what, if Brother Don was in the studio right now, he'd say, hey, guys, that's enough about me.
That's right. Get to work.
Get to work here. That's what we pay you to do.
That's right.
So let's talk about the stories of the day. Hey, listen, breaking news. And I think the Democrats are celebrating that they can get away with trying to respond to the horrible way they responded to Trump's speech on Tuesday night. So they're glad for a little bit of different news this morning. And the headline basically is this. The headline on the Associated Press, you can go to One News Now right now, and you'll see it there. Sessions, referring to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, denies talking to Russians about campaign issues. The Democrats this morning, there have already been a couple of news conferences up there in Washington. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, I believe, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, they've been out there in front of the microphones. The basis of the story is this. Attorney General Sessions, when he was nominated for that post, there were hearings. And at the time, there were questions about whether he had contact with the Russians over recent months. And basically, the context would have been because what was breaking at that time is that the Russians had hacked into Democrat emails, et cetera, et cetera. That was the context of this. And then Senator Jeff Sessions said no. But what's happening is that there is no question because when he was senator, he was also part of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And in that capacity, yes, he talked to Russian officials on several different occasions. One of them, for instance, was the Heritage Foundation held a seminar of sorts with various international figures there, and Russians were sent a representative to that. And as part of that session, you know, Jeff Sessions was part of all of that get together. So basically, Ray, what we have this morning is the Democrats believe, now with the Democrats, there's kind of two layers to their responses. They're saying he should recuse, as Attorney General, he should recuse himself now from the investigation into whether the Russians had anything to do with interfering with our election. But number two, some of them are saying he ought to resign because he committed perjury during that committee comment when he said, Jeff Sessions believes he said it in the context, I had no discussions with him about the 2016 election. So there you have it. It is all over the news today. You're seeing headlines everywhere. And as I say, I think the Democrats believe, thank goodness, we're going to get away from the Trump speech. And right. Now we've got something that maybe we can get a bone in our teeth and we're going to run with this.
Well, friend, let me ask you something about this because, first of all, there's nothing unusual, is there, about a senator like Jeff Sessions with a lot of seniority on the Armed Services Committee. Wouldn't it be pretty normal for him in the course of his senatorial duties to talk to representatives from other nations, including other ambassadors? There's nothing wrong with him talking to the Russian ambassador as a senator on the Armed Services Committee. That's correct, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the job. It's part of the job. So, and that's what now Attorney General Sessions is saying. And, you know, he's saying this morning, too, that, you know, if there's reason for me to recuse myself from this investigation, then I will do it. But I did not talk to the Russians about the 2016 election. I did not do that.
Well, what are they? What are the Democrats trying to allege that he talked to the? I don't know that the fix was in somehow. What are they trying to insinuate? Maybe that's a better word. What are they trying to insinuate that Jeff Sessions did when he talked to the Russian ambassador? Because as a senator, as you said, that's his job at certain times to talk to. I guess I saw somewhere today he had spoken to 50 different ambassadors last year in the course of his senatorial duties. So what are they even trying to insinuate, that they were whispering about Russian collusion, or that, which doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. And, you know, ever since the election was over, the Democrats have been trying to, one of the narratives, as they call it, they have been putting out there is that the Russians interfered with this election. They helped the Republicans win the election. And so now what they're trying to bring back to the public's attention in the midst of an investigation that is going on as to how much the Russians, you know, the allegation being that they hacked into Democratic Party computers and they helped make Hillary Clinton look bad, as if she needed the Russians to help her look bad during the election campaign.
Right.
I mean, let's go back to the reality here. During the investigation, it was found that John Podesta was sending emails back and forth. He was her campaign manager. And the password on his computer was password.
And that's
how sophisticated, a 12-year-old nerd with great computer smarts could have hacked into that computer.
In about 20 or 30 seconds.
All it would take.
Right.
So this is part of this campaign, once again, to try to, number one, discredit the election win of the Republicans. And, of course, the Democrats are trying to overall discredit the Trump administration. Now they're trying to insinuate that then Senator Jeff Sessions, during his nomination hearings, that he committed perjury.
If you listen to the tape or watch the tape of Al Franken, Senator Franken, questioning Jeff Sessions, it's pretty clear. He's asking him, did you talk to the Russians about campaign-related issues, right?
Yes.
And Jeff Sessions honorably said no because he had not done that. He didn't ask him, have you ever in the last year spoken to anybody from Russia? That would be a completely different kind of question, right?
Exactly.
So what are we left with here? Is there, as they say, is there any there? Is there anything that can stick other than just a baseless accusation?
Nothing that we can see at this point, but as our founder has often said on the air, if I was a betting man, given the fact that you got the Democrats and you got the mainstream media who really don't like Donald Trump, they're going to run with this today. They're going to run hard with this. And, you know, at some point, Attorney General Jeff Sessions may say, okay, to put the fire out on this, I'll recuse myself from the investigation that has been demanded into Russian involvement. I'll just back away and let you guys do your thing. That may be the final response in all of this, but we'll have to wait and see. For his part, at this point, what he's saying, I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't talk to the Russians about the 2016 campaign. I answered honestly during that nomination hearing. So why should I back away? So we'll have to wait and see how Attorney General Jeff Sessions will respond to all of this. But as I mentioned a few moments ago, the Democrats are just happy to move away from the big story yesterday on how many Democrats, and we want to deal with that a little bit right now, how many Democrats were basically accused of just treating President Trump with disrespect on Tuesday night. And in particular, we have today more reaction to how some Democrats, I don't know if you've heard of this, Ray, yet, but there's a former Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama volunteer reacting to that very, very emotional moment when President Trump honored the widow of Navy SEAL William Ryan Owens. We've seen this over and over. It was such a powerful moment.
Right.
as someone has said, it's going to be etched into the history of State of the Union type addresses. Well, in response to all of that, and I'm sure most of our listeners have seen that video by now, it was played over and over again yesterday, was, as I say, such a powerful moment. But a former Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama volunteer said that SEAL's widow, Karen Owens, now I want you to listen to this, folks, looked like a, quote, this is what he said, looked like an idiot. This is what he wrote, this guy, this volunteer, Dan Grillo. Sorry, Owens wife, you're not helping yourself or your husband's memory by standing there and clapping like an idiot. Trump just used you. Unbelievable. As I say, he is a former Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama volunteer. Thank God his current employer, we don't know who it is, found out about this. Now, I heard this morning some Navy SEALs got in touch with his current employer, now past employer, because that employer fired him yesterday.
Right. Right.
Unbelievable, Ray.
Well, it's, you know, what sort of human being watches what happened in that talk? That, I mean, I have forgotten nearly every State of the Union message I've ever watched, right? Mm-hmm. There, most of them are forgettable as they're being delivered. That's going to be in my mind for the rest of my life.
Oh, man.
And that widow weeping, looking up to heaven, the mixture of grief and the pride she felt in her husband and the sacrifice he made. How could anybody look at that and call her an idiot? It's a moral blindness and sort of moral blindness and a partisan ideology that causes you to react. Something's wrong with you, right, Fred? Something's
exactly
wrong with this guy to react this way to one of the most moving moments in any presidential address in the last generation.
What kind of dark heart
Oh, yeah.
Does that kind of thing? And then there were people critical. As we mentioned yesterday, Van Jones, one of the hosts on CNN,
right,
praised the speech. Now, this is CNN. This is a host on CNN. That in itself,
right,
is almost unbelievable. But he praised the speech. But then he is criticized for praising the speech, praising what happened there on Tuesday night. Most people, you know, many people, Democrats and Republicans, many mainstream media people who have been on the attack against Donald Trump since he took over the presidency, many of them said it was a terrific speech. It was a turning point. I think Van Jones is one of those. Chris Wallace was another who said Donald Trump became president of the United States on Tuesday night.
Right.
These are people who have been critical of him.
Well, and Chris Wallace said, rarely has any president delivered a more powerful State of the Union message than that. And to be honest, I mean, I sat down with my wife to watch the speech because honestly, Fred, I had no idea what was about to happen, right? Including how the Democrats were going to respond. I was blown away.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by the vigor and the power, the delivery of President Trump. I mean, that speech could have gone a lot of different ways, and he hit it out of the park. So Van Jones got it right, and Chris Wallace got it right. But look at the vitriol that Van Jones is taking for simply saying that Donald Trump became president in the hearts of the people tonight. Nothing wrong with that statement. As a matter of fact, judging from the overwhelmingly positive response, Van Jones was right. His critics are wrong.
All right, we just want to play you that clip once again of President Trump talking about Ryan Owens. And then I want to come back with some breaking news from this morning that's in connection with what Owens did that night. Navy SEAL, the attack, and I believe it occurred on January 20th on Inauguration Day or shortly after that, this attack in Yemen that took down many Islamic terrorists. So we want to play that excerpt from the speech from Tuesday night, and then I want to come back and give you some breaking news that, boy, it's going to be chilling.
We are blessed to be joined tonight by Corinne Owens, the widow of U.S. Navy Special Operator, Senior Chief William Ryan Owens. Ryan died as he lived, a warrior and a hero, battling against terrorism and securing our nation. I just spoke to our great General Mattis just now, who reconfirmed that, and I quote, Ryan was a part of a highly successful raid that generated large amounts of vital intelligence that will lead to many more victories in the future against our enemy.
All right, I'm going to stop it right here, and here's the reason why. Here is the headline this morning. Did you just hear what President Trump said? Because of that raid where Ryan Owens lost his life, but because of that raid, our intelligence system was able to garner materials in that raid that would help us in the future. So that was President Trump on Tuesday night. Look at this headline this morning. Series of U.S. airstrikes target al-Qaeda positions in Yemen. A series of U.S. airstrikes overnight targeted al-Qaeda positions on Thursday in a mountainous area where three Yemeni provinces meet, leaving at least four terrorists dead. Now, how do you think we got the intelligence to find out where these terrorists were? It was because of the bravery of these Navy SEALs, including William Ryan Owens.
You know, I don't understand, Fred, at all, the people who implicitly are criticizing our military leadership, because really, frankly, it's not the president, whether it would be President Obama or President Trump, who makes the operational decisions. These are the best that we have, the best generals, the best leaders, and we send our best troops, our special operators, into extremely dangerous situations. So this is just a case in point. Where did the intelligence come from for the successful raid? No doubt some of it came from what was captured a month ago in the operation in which the Navy SEAL gave his life. So I think the president's been justified and been vindicated, and certainly we ought to do all we can to honor the memory of those wounded and the one who died there in Yemen, because that's a tremendous sacrifice on behalf of our nation.
No question. And one media official there in Yemen was saying a total of 23 airstrikes were carried out by these U.S. jets. They don't run those missions, Ray, without having really solid intelligence of their targets. I mean, some of these bombings were done in residential areas, and of course, there's always condemnation for that. But let's face it, just like in Gaza, where the Hamas terrorists, they hide behind the skirts of the women and the children in those areas. That's what terrorists do. They're cowards. But we had the intelligence, our military had the intelligence overnight last night to go into these areas. And as I say, if I was a betting man, that intelligence was gathered by the bravery of people like Navy SEAL William Ryan Owens.
Well, the rules of engagement are such these days that you can't launch a strike unless you've got solid info. And the only way you do it is with raids like the one that happened last month.
I tell you what, and we continue to honor his widow. And, you know, it's been mentioned over and over again. In a military family, the husband may be the one spouse may be the one serving. But I tell you the one who takes care of the home fires, just as brave, just as solid. So keep praying for Mrs. Owens. I believe they have three children. Keep our prayers and our hearts on them as we move along through this. All right, much more ahead here on today's issues. We're going to be talking very shortly with Jan Markell with Understanding the Times Ministry, another great program here on American Family Radio. We're going to be talking to her about the latest attacks against Jewish cemeteries, the bomb threats going on right now against Jewish community centers. What's behind all of that? We'll be talking to Jan about that and much more when we return here on Today's Issue.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview.
On Tuesday night, President Trump paid tribute to Karen Owens, the widow of Navy SEAL Ryan Owens. It was a uniquely American moment as Republicans and Democrats stood together and thunderously applauded the sacrifice of this brave young hero. But we all know how much liberals loathe the military, and within minutes, they attacked. A former Hillary Clinton volunteer said the Navy SEAL's widow was clapping like an idiot. One of those yammering hens on The View accused the president of exploiting Mrs. Owens. Meanwhile, MSNBC gave airtime to a cavalcade of cowards and sleazeballs. Michael Moore and Bill Maher said the widow allowed herself to be used as a presidential prop. But Karen Owens is no presidential prop. She is the wife of an American hero. And if liberals like Michael Moore and Bill Maher can't muster the decency to respect that, maybe they ought to take a cue from Madea and put the shut to the up. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And it's good to have you back with us today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim and for Walker and for Ed. Ray, I'm sure glad you're there. Ray Pritchard, Keep Believing Ministries,
well,
for our Dallas Bureau.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. And by the way, we do, Fred, I don't know if you know this, but I'm watching you live on the Facebook feed, and usually there's four or five people to watch, but now you're up live on Facebook. We're still going on the Today's Issues Facebook page, so come and join the fun, folks.
Listen, I better put some makeup on, you know, like Tim. I got to try to look a little bit decent.
No, you're looking good, Fred.
Is it okay?
Yeah, you're looking good.
All right. I don't have a hat on. Tim wears the hat.
Has that ivy, that ivy hat or whatever that thing is.
Someone said it's a golf hat.
Yeah, that's what I think when I see it.
Whatever golf hat is.
Right.
I don't play golf. Hey, listen, before we go to Jan Markell, I just want to put everybody's mind at ease. If you were worried about the Obamas, how they were going to get along now that he's kind of out of a job. All right. Here's the headline, folks, from the Washington Post. Good friends of the Obamas at the Washington Post. Obama signed book deals with Penguin Random House. Now, you talk about a deal? So, as I say, if you were worried about their economic viability in the wake of him leaving the presidency, the deal, they say, is worth $65 million.
Whoa. 65. That's a lot of money, Fred.
Is that a little bit more than what you get when you do your books?
That's a bunch of zeros. That's a whole bunch of zeros more than when I do my books. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Where have you even heard of anybody in any field getting paid? And this is for what? Is a book by Michelle Obama and then one by Barack Obama? This is like a $33 million, $32.5 million apiece, or something like $65 million. They got a good agent.
I think so. And I tell you what, Penguin was just all over there with words of flowery words yesterday. Just a quote from the announcement here. Quote: "With their words and their leadership, they change the world. And every day, with the books we publish at Penguin Random House, we strive to do the same." So there you go. Brother Don saying, if I was a betting man, they probably have a lot of other people actually writing the books.
Oh, sure.
I don't think you're going to have Barack Obama and Michelle sitting down at typewriters.
No.
Pardon me, computers. I'm showing my age. writing books over the next 3 years. But here's the other thing. A significant portion of the book proceeds, it says, will be donated to charity, including the Obama Foundation. Here we go again. Clinton Foundation, Obama Foundation. We'll be finding out what that's all about, according to the news release. The publisher will also, listen to this, folks. Parents, listen up. The publisher will also donate 1 million books in the Obama's name to First Book, a Washington-based nonprofit that provides education materials to children in need. I wonder if the Obama books are going to end up in a public school near you.
You know, Fred, I was thinking to myself, I wonder, from the publisher's point of view, $65 million, that's a lot of money. How many books do they have to sell to get their money back and even begin to move into a profit? It's got to be up in the millions and millions. I mean, if it sells 1 million, you're not going to make $65 million back on 1 million books and 1 million. A million seller would be a mega, mega, mega hit. I don't know. I was trying to do it in my head. 10, 15, 18, 20 million copies they've got to sell to get their money back. Do you think it'll be that big?
Well, once again, I don't think there's going to be a problem because this is a global deal. This book will sell well all over the world. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The Obamas are still loved in many parts of the world. In fact, what I was reading earlier this week in France, there was a petition for Barack Obama to run for president of France or something like that.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. All right. Hey, listen, we'll see what happens. As I say, you don't have to worry about the Obamas. They're okay. They're going to be able to have enough money to send their kids to university.
They're going to get the mortgage paid. No problem.
Exactly. They're not going to have to live on bread and water. They're going to be okay.
That's right.
I just wanted to relax everybody this morning. All right. Jan Markell joining us right now. Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries in the great state of Minnesota. Jan, always good to have you with us.
Oh, well, you just made my day with all that info on the Obama. I hope she's proud of her country again.
That's right. And maybe that's what you'll be talking about because, Jan, Understanding the Times, your program on American Family Radio, airs at 105 on Saturday and again at noon on Sunday. I'm glad I'm able to provide maybe a little story for you to start off with this weekend.
I didn't know that, Fred. So like I said, you made my day.
All right. There you go. Well, listen, there is news that I know you may be talking about. It's the rise of anti-Semitism in this country once again. How disturbing. About a week, 10 days ago, Vice President Pence was in the St. Louis area where he was helping to repair some of the gravestones at a Jewish cemetery. Same thing happened in Philadelphia. And now we've had a large number of bomb threats at Jewish community centers in this country. And, Jan, it is just, what have the Jewish people done that has some people, sick people, so upset that they would do this kind of thing?
Well, the one who's upset, Fred, is Satan, because Satan knows the Bible actually better than even some Christians know the Bible, and he knows that the Jews are the key to a lot of things, including the end of days, the return of the Lord. And if he could get them bumped off, as has been tried throughout history, most recently in the 30s and 40s, but if he could get them bumped off, he thinks he could sort of thwart God's end time plan. You and I know that's not going to happen, but he thinks he's a cunning foe, and he's going to try. And I think the thing that troubles me just as much as the acts of insanity themselves, the acts of anti-Semitism, and I'm going to be blunt here, is the disinterest among Christians and in the church about this issue. I can't tell you how disinterested, and I think Christians feel it doesn't apply to them. You know, someday it may apply to them. They may be the ones being persecuted, but I cannot get folks interested in this.
That's amazing. Ray, your comments.
Well, Jan, put this then in a bigger perspective. Why should Christians be concerned about not just this wave of anti-Semitism, which is disgusting and terrible, but in the larger sense, why should Christians be concerned about the Jewish people?
Well, remember, enemies of Jews and Christians consider Jews and Christians people of the book, and be it angry Muslims or just angry all sorts of people, would like to come after both groups of people, Jews and Christians. The Bible says that one of the characteristics of the end of days will be increasing hostility towards Jews and Christians. So, yeah, we really have to stick together, and we really need to have a burden for one another. Again, I don't see that happening other than a little remnant. There certainly are Christian Zionists who care a whole lot about all of this. Again, they are a kind of a minority in the church. But we need to stick together. We are kind of an equal target. I say if the Jews are now being persecuted wherever, that Christians are next.
You know, I wanted to ask you a little bit, and I'll get to that question in a second, about your response, Jan, to President Trump's speech on Tuesday night. There was a brief mention of Israel there. But first, I wanted to get your reaction. Our new ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, is former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. And she attended her first Security Council meeting back several days ago, and she came out, and she was brutally frank. She said she was absolutely amazed that given everything else that's going on in the world with regards to terrorism, given the fact Iran's sponsorship of terrorism, given the fact one of the religious leaders in Iran repeated once again recently he wants Israel wiped off the face of the earth, given the fact of what's, you know, terrorism activity in Gaza, in Syria, et cetera, et cetera, Nikki Haley, Ambassador Nikki Haley said, we spent all our time condemning Israel. It's just... Jan, and again, I want to get your comments on this.
Yeah.
This makes no, even if you're not a Christian, this makes no rational sense. So it has to be spiritual.
Yeah, exactly. It's a spiritual issue. Again, the devil is working overtime to wherever he can. The United Nations, the European Union, you name it. He's just doing everything he can in the Islamic world, wherever he can, the communist world, he's doing everything he can to focus like a laser beam right now on Jews. And, you know, Nikki Haley is so right. You've got nations committing outrageous atrocities that get no condemnation, that get no chastisement, and yet all the focus is on Israel. But, you know, the Bible foretold that. Again, the Bible said that in the last days, that the whole world would come against Israel. I believe every establishment, just about everyone except a little core group of Christians who are going to, because they understand the Bible, who will stick with the Jews, just as some did during the Holocaust and even paid with their lives because of that. So I do think it's a dark day, and yet... I'm always encouraged by the little remnant, the remnant of Christians that really do care. But, oh, that it's such an important observation you made. And Nikki Haley, and it'd be nice if all UN ambassadors would have this perspective. The previous one could have cared less.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, President Trump on Tuesday night, brief mention of Israel, but saying and stating clearly once again, he did two things. He was brave enough, unlike our previous president, to call it Islamic terrorism.
Yeah.
And number two, he did say that this nation, the United States, would stand by Israel. You regard those as very positive things?
Well, I just was mightily blessed by a lot of things that happened the other night. I'll talk a little bit about the situation between America and Israel this weekend on my programming. It's a new day. It's a new day because we have an administration, we have a UN representative, we just have all sorts of new leaders in Washington that see Israel properly, and that is our best friend in the world, certainly the Middle East, but possibly even in the entire world, as far as sharing intelligence and fighting the war on terror, et cetera. There's no greater friend than Israel. And now America is once again an ally, and Israel an ally of America. And you know, Fred, here's the thing. There's a blessing for this country as a result. Genesis 12:3 says, I'll bless those who bless Israel. I'll curse those who curse her. I mean, you know, have you noticed Wall Street lately? We're being blessed. I think we're going to be blessed in many ways. That doesn't mean we don't have insurmountable problems, but God is going to give us a measure of blessing for standing by his covenant people. We have had an eight-year nightmare that Benjamin Netanyahu, I don't know how he made it, but he did. And you could see him beaming from ear to ear back on February the 15th when he met with President Trump. So it's a new day. It's a great day.
Amen. Jan, when you look at this wave of the attack on the cemetery in St. Louis and the one in Philadelphia, and then we're reporting on One News Now, Jewish centers and schools across the nation report another wave of bomb threats on Monday and so on. Where this recent spate of anti-Semitic attacks and threats, where is that coming from?
Well, I believe it's coming again from the mind and the heart of the devil, who hates the Jewish people more than anybody on earth, again, because they are the key to everything as to how the end of days unfolds. It's all surrounds Israel. And I try to present that on some of my programming. I certainly don't do that every week. And it's just something that the churches probably won't talk about. Well, some will, and just not enough. And by the way, gentlemen, we have come to love our American Family Radio audience just because they are so tuned. They're tuned in to the issues we're talking about right now, and we hear from them a lot, and they get it. They understand, but that's because of programmings like yours, and mine to a lesser extent. I'm weekly, you're daily, but you've been educating and informing your audience for years. It's just a wonderful thing that's happened.
Amen. Hey, listen, Jan, good to talk to you again. Jeremiah Carl of Olive Tree Ministries, based there in Minnesota. And her program is Understanding the Times right here on American Family Radio Talk at 1:05 on Saturday Central Time and noon Central Time on Sunday. Jan, God bless you.
Thank you.
We thank
all
you
right,
for your
bye
testimony.
Now.
Okay, take care. You know, Ray, there's another story somewhat related to all of this morning. It's on onenewsnow.com. Here's the headline, folks. Austrian court convicts 8 Iraqis of gang raping a German woman.
Whoa.
An Austrian court found 8 Iraqi nationals guilty on Thursday of gang raping a German tourist on New Year's Eve and sentenced them to prison terms of between 9 and 13 years. Now listen to this, folks. These Iraqi men, aged between 22 and 48, came to Austria as migrants between May and December 2015, 5 of them subsequently were given refugee status.
And people wonder why we raise the concern over and over again about the necessity for extreme vetting.
Extreme vetting, exactly.
Right. That clearly something fell through the cracks here and a terrible crime took place. So this is exactly why, when we're taking in refugees from these war-torn countries in the Middle East, you got to check and recheck and check again, right? I mean, you just have to. You have to make sure before you let people in. And we understand, Fred, we understand. There's no guarantee. You can vet till the cows come home, and still somebody may commit a crime. But clearly, cases like this remind us of why we ought to be compassionate toward genuine refugees. A lot of people have suffered, but they ought not to be exempt from a high degree of vetting before we let them in.
You know, it just goes back to something else that President Trump said on Tuesday night. He said this country is built on immigrants, people who have come here because they want to be part of this country. But something he said really touched that nerve once again. We want people that are going to adopt and appreciate and embrace American values.
And that's a sentence that you never heard Barack Obama say.
That's right.
I don't think he would think that, much less say that. That Donald Trump not only said it, but he actually believes. It's politically incorrect almost today to say there is such a thing as, quote, American values. Now, Fred, you and I are old enough, we can remember when, quote, Americanism was being taught in the public schools.
Yes.
That day is long gone. But the whole point of, quote, Americanism was to say there are values which we as a nation, as a culture, as a society hold. And before we open the door and let you in, we want to know that from your heart that you truly share those values. Because if we're not sure, we're not going to let you in. I think that's a reasonable standard, to not just for people from the Middle East, but from any country wanting to come to America. Do you really share our values?
Hey, Ray, one of the problems, and we all have recognized this through the years, one of the reasons we have our own news service here at American Family Radio is that the mainstream media is not going to relate these stories to you the way that we do. They have a very secular, very liberal, they like to call it progressive. You hear that term over and over again. And we're thankful that there are organizations like the Media Research Center that are out there, and they're reminding us on a daily basis what the left is doing and saying, distorting the news. And one of the fine people that works there is Dan Gaynor, who's Vice President of Business and Culture at the Media Research Center, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, and thank you for that introduction. And Lord knows we couldn't do what we do without groups like yours.
Well, I tell you what, Dan, I worked in the what we call the mainstream media here. I worked in the mainstream media for almost 20 years, and there was a time when your boss has said, if I see your opinion in this story never makes it to air, because I am not interested, reporter, editor, in your opinion. But that's all changed because the mainstream media now, and let's face it, the polls have shown 90% of them vote Democrat. They're in concert with, think of, two draft horses. I come from a farming background. Two draft horses, and they're pulling the cart together, and that cart is left-wing anti-Christian bias. And Dan, you see it over and over and over again.
Well, yeah, and we've been monitoring this. And post-election, the left has been doing this amazing dash for cash. You know, you see in a couple days, the American Civil Liberties Union gathered $24 million.
Wow.
That's bad enough. But then these groups, John Oliver, he went on his show on HBO, and he urged people to give to three very liberal groups, Planned Parenthood, the NRDC, which is an environmental loony group, and then ProPublica. Oh, give to them for journalism. Well, here's what you get with ProPublica. You get a dyed-in-the-wool liberal organization founded with liberal money. In fact, back in 2007, when it was founded, Jack Schaefer, who now writes for Politico, was very open when he wrote about that for Slate, about how Herb and Marion Sandler, the people who gave the money, how liberal they were. And now this group, years later, it's become the gold standard for liberal media to the point where it's gotten three Pulitzers, a couple Emmys, and now it is tied in with 139 major news organizations where it goes out and does its agenda-based reporting, and then it works with these news organizations to either run it in print or online or on TV, and they never tell you that the stuff you're getting is already coming from the left before you ever even see it.
Hey, Ray, I think what Dan is saying is it's this old saying, follow the money.
Right.
And it's very interesting where it'll take you.
Hey, Dan, the president took a lot of flack for saying the press is, quote, the enemy of the American people. Did he overstate his case, or is that basically true?
I think it's certainly the enemy of some American people. I mean, you know, if you're conservative, if you're Christian in this country, the press has been gunning for you for years. I don't think I've lived a day in my life where the press has not been openly left-wing. You go back to the 1960 election with John F. Kennedy, where the media urged everybody to be tolerant, and frankly, they should have been, of his religion. But then you fast forward to 2012, where those same media outlets, the New York Times, Washington Post, are talking about Mitt Romney and exactly urging the opposite. The reason why they liked John F. Kennedy wasn't because of his religion. They liked it because of his politics.
You know, it's interesting. I've lived through now a number of administrations, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, and then, of course, the Obama years. But yes, and I've always understood that liberal bias has been there, Dan and Ray. But Dan, I have to say, I have never seen the attacks against a conservative president like I have seen against President Donald Trump. During the election campaign, once it was settled who is going to carry the Republican banner, and then after the election, I have almost, you know, I read Associated Press stuff, you know, you look at CNN, ABC, CBS, et cetera, even some Fox stuff from time to time. I have never seen, almost every story is a negative take. It's a suspicion of something that has been said. It's an attack. It's going out and finding the enemy and giving the enemy the top voice.
Yeah, we just had a study come out just minutes ago saying that the coverage has been 88% hostile. And honestly, that surprises me if that's positive. You've got somebody like Katie Turr from NBC and MSNBC, which increasingly don't seem any different. She says, I'm a journalist. I'm not a critic of Donald Trump. This loon went out there and actually asked if Donald Trump would do as Putin has reportedly done and start disappearing, i.e. killing journalists. And she's like, I'm not a critic. That's how goofy they are. They've become so caught up because mostly what they read is these liberal outlets, Republican and other ones. And so they've convinced themselves that Donald Trump is Hitler. And not that he is, that there's no relationship to reality, but they've convinced themselves of that. So they see themselves as the resistance. In fact, I mean, some of them have called themselves the Fusion, which in theory is a product of a legitimate news organization. In practice, doesn't read like it. It has called itself the voice of the resistance.
Dan, we only have a few seconds left in our segment. Where can people, you guys are doing research all the time. Where can people find out about what your findings are, what you're looking at the mainstream media, this profile that you gave of this particular reporter? Where can people get some more information?
Well, I would send it to two places. One, newsbusters.org for our day-to-day bias, but also people are interested in the left-wing universe of all these nonprofits. We have a new site called buyingbias.org, and it's really good for tracking and figuring out where the left-wing money is going and where it's coming from.
Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Business and Culture at the Media Research Center. Thanks so much, pal. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Ray, one of the reasons Don Wildman started American Family Radio was to get the truth out there. He knew he couldn't do it through the mainstream media, and with good reason, and that's why he started it. And we're looking forward to the next half hour where we're going to honor our founder right here at American Family Radio. You're listening to Today's Issues. We're back right after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.